Amen. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? So good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. You'll notice we're missing a few faces around. Pastor and family are still, they're driving back today from Panama City, from the beach, and I understand they've had a great week down there, and some much needed rest, I'm sure. And also, Amanda and them, they are away. They are with my son Jordan. They're in Florida this week as well, and they'll be coming back tomorrow. And we've got some other folks that are out sick, and some are, have had some injuries. Please remember Connie Norton, as Brother Trail's wife. She took a spill, and she hit her head. She's at Cobb Hospital, so please remember her in prayer. Please remember Brother Leonard, Ms. Dolores, and what they're going through there. And I'm sure most of you have seen the emails and things such as that. And we just want to continue to lift up Brother Leonard in prayer. God knows exactly what is needed. And a special prayer request this morning. I'm sure most of you have heard and probably seen some things on Facebook. But any of you who are familiar with the Neelands, know the tragedy that took place on Friday. They were in flight over to going for I would imagine it was a Singing at Sea cruise in Alaska, and on Friday the airplane went down and they were all lost in the terrible crash that took place there. I believe there were 7 on board, and they are all now with the Lord and with family that's already gone on before. And I don't know how many of you, again, there may be some that don't know who that is, but that's probably one of the most famous Southern gospel singing groups that have ever been, the Neelands. That started back when Brother Rex was the bass singer, and Kelly was just a little thing, and they would sing and go all over the place, and still have been. And now they are singing in the heavenly choir this morning. And I don't know, you know Brother Todd, he's the minister of music down at Sweetwater Baptist Church, just a few miles from here. For my friend of mine is a pastor there, Brother Darrell Jones, and a lot of them were members of that church, and they sing there a lot. And so you can imagine what their church is going through this morning and the great loss. Todd was Kelly's brother, and he's a minister of music there, and just a great, great man of God. But the Lord knows exactly what the family needs. I can't even begin to understand what they would stand in need of. But the Lord knows. Amen. He's an ever-present help in a time of need. And we just really, really need to lift up that family and all of the families that that have suffered such a loss in this time. But we want to remember them in prayer. And I know that, again, there are many other prayer requests. I'd surely miss someone. But the Lord knows all about each one, amen? So you please remember each one in prayer. Give you just a couple of things this morning. Here's one that says, save the date. That's the Calvary's Got Talent. That's coming right around the corner on August the 25th in the PM service. If you're interested in that, have any questions, see Mary Ann or Miss Sharon, and that would be a great, great time. And I know there a lot of folks have signed up. I look forward to seeing what some of your talent is. I think. I think I do. But that's going to be a great time. It'll be a good time. It'll be a fun time. And who's our minister for this evening? Brother, raise your hand. Look back there in the back. There's Kevin. He needs prayer. And amen. And we are so looking forward to that this evening. It'll be downstairs in the fellowship hall. Brother Kevin will be bringing our message. Nobody clapped for me when I came in this morning. Don't do it. No, don't do it. Don't do it. But Kevin, we're looking forward to it, brother. And I know where you are, and I will pray for you today because I know exactly where you are. And but please remember Brother Kevin. And again, remember all the prayer requests this morning. Let's go to him in a word of prayer, and then we'll have a congregation song. We'll take up the offering here in just a few moments. But Father, we love you. And Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord, in times that sometimes are just hard. Lord, you've heard each prayer request, many that were not spoken this morning. Sometimes those are the ones that are most dearest to us. But Lord, sometimes, Lord, we come to you in a time when we just don't really know what to say. And Lord, we do lift up the Nealon family and, Lord, the Pilots family and Lord, they're everyone that's involved, everyone that's associated to this family and this group. Lord, all across America this morning, people are in churches all across America praying for this family. They have touched so many families in their ministry down through the years. Lord, we thank you for them. Lord, we thank you for what they stood for. Lord, we thank you for the songs that touched our hearts when they would sing. But Lord, we know this morning that they are in your presence and they are singing, Lord, for you this morning. And Lord, they are singing in a heavenly choir today. But Lord, how we're going to miss them, and Lord, how this family is going to miss them. I pray especially this morning for Autumn, and I pray that you'd be with her, Lord, as she will soon give birth to that little baby. And Lord, I pray that you would touch her and comfort her as only you can do. Lord, the other prayer requests that have been given today, the ones that will be traveling today and tomorrow and this week, Lord, we pray that you would just keep them all safe. Lord, it causes us to remember that we just never know what a day holds. Lord, help us not to take things so for granted that we do. But Lord, every day is such a special day to be able to be alive and to be able to put our feet on the floor in the mornings and have good health and strength. And Lord, this morning's a special day because we have an opportunity to come to your house. And Lord, we can, Lord, just come together and worship you and praise you. And Lord, thank you for what you've done. Lord, I pray that in a few moments, Lord, when I stand open your word, that I pray, Lord, that your word would come alive to us. Lord, I pray that it would touch our hearts, draw us closer to you, closer to each other, and cause us to realize how important it is that we just search the scripture and find what you have for us. Lord, I pray that I've done that this week. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us now. Lord, I pray that you'd touch the service, fill this place with your Holy Spirit, and we'll praise you for all that you do and who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. If you will, church, stand, choir, stand with me. Turn over to page number 120, and let's sing about the victory that we have in Jesus. Everyone stand, everyone sing. Page 120. I'd sing now. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming love. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the... On the last now, I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. choir, you can be seated as well. Again, just please be much in prayer for the service today. Please pray for Brother Kevin for tonight, and we so look forward to that. But let's go to the Lord again in a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on the service, and ask God's blessing on the offering this morning. Brother Don, would you lead us as we pray?
to life again, I was made for more. Sweet it is to trust in you, Jesus.
There's honey in the rock. There's water in the stone. And there's manna on the ground. And I had no idea what she was going to sing this morning, and she didn't ask me what I was going to be preaching about either. But if you will this morning, turn with me to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and the fourth book of the Old Testament. The book of Numbers. And this morning we're going to be looking at chapter number 20. Tried my best to get me a little bit of extra time. I might keep you long, but I'll do my best not to keep you late. I'll try my best to be wise to that this morning. But we just want to stay here longer, as long as the Lord would have us to, amen, and get what He has for us. You please pray. Please pray this morning. I don't know what that racket is. We're going to need to pray that don't happen. But I want to talk with you this morning, if I can this morning, about working through hard places. Would you agree with me sometimes that you just have to work through some hard places in life? We all face them, amen? Physical challenges, financial challenges, emotional challenges, sometimes even spiritual challenges, but we are working through hard places. Look with me if you will, chapter number 20 of the book of Numbers, and we're going to start in verse number 2, and I'm going to read down through verse number 6, and we might catch the end a little more in the end of that chapter as we get along. But in chapter 20, verse number 2, it says, "And there was no water for the congregation." That's something to be remembered right there. "And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people," notice this word, it says, "and the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, would God." Now, in our everyday vocabulary, we'd say, "would to God." You've heard people say that before. "That we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have you made us to come out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place?" I mean, really? "It is no place of seed or of figs or of vines or pomegranates. Neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them." Now I'm going to repeat that last line. "And the glory of the Lord appeared unto them." Why? Because they fell upon their faces. Father, we just want to come before you this morning. And Lord, I should literally fall on the ground in your presence this morning. I should fall upon my face this morning as well. Because, Lord, we want to hear from you today. In these next few moments, Lord, I pray that you would speak to us. I pray that you would give us something that would strengthen us individually, as a church, as a congregation of people. Lord, we love you and we thank you for what you're going to do and for what you're going to say to us now. Lord, we're going to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And the church said, amen. Amen. You're still awake. Here we find Moses and his brother. His brother's name is Aaron. And Moses here has been assigned. He has an assignment with a congregation of people. Now, you got to remember, Moses is 80 years old. And he's been given an assignment before a congregation. Now, you would think, well, he must be older than Aaron. No, not so much. Aaron here is 83 years old. So, they're not spring chickens, as we would say. But they have been given a task, and Moses has been given an assignment. I don't know about you, but have you ever been given an assignment? And sometimes, Elon, that assignment that we get is with not so nice a people. Now, I don't mean to say that to a deacon in front of a church, but sometimes the assignment we get is not so nice a people. We all work with people, we deal with people sometimes that are just not very nice. And sometimes that falls upon us. Not all people we deal with are going to treat us nicely. Sometimes we are assigned to an assignment that is completely out of our comfort zone. Boy, that's trouble. We're living in a time when people will give up their assignment that they can just stay comfortable. Occasionally, though, God assigns us to hard places, working through hard places. Look with me, if you will, at the people in verses 2 through 5. It says, "And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron." They gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. They gathered themselves against Moses and Aaron, and the Bible says, "And the people chode with Moses and spake." Well, I had to go back and dig a little bit to find out, because that word chode is not just an everyday word of our vocabulary, is it? But that word chode means this. It means to argue or to quarrel. You might even say that there is now a verbal, because it says, "and spake." So they're having a verbal argument, a verbal quarrel, or you might even say they are assaulting Moses verbally. They're just letting him have it. So now here they are, and they chode. Then they said, "You have brought us up out of Egypt to this evil place." And it says, "where there's no seeds." We all know what seeds are. I was hoping Johnny would be here this morning, and he might have us some good maters. Oh, Johnny can grow some maters. Anybody else in the house grow tomatoes? I hadn't got no tomatoes yet. If y'all feel sorry for me, maybe bring me a tomato, okay? But there are no seeds, so you can't have vegetables without seeds. You ever notice that? I used to have a buddy, and he'd say, "Hey, what are you going to have for dinner tonight?" He was a country old fella, and he'd say, "You're going to have maters, taters, and roastineers." Now, some of y'all people, especially our young folks back here, are wondering, we know what maters are, and we know what taters are. Does anybody know what roastineers are? What is it, Brother Don? Thank you. Corn. For all of us who have grown up in the old time when you would have a vegetable garden, and some of us still do, it was maters, taters, and roastineers. I said, "No, that's not what we're having for dinner, brother, but thank you." Maters, taters, and roastineers, because they had no seeds. It also said, "And they had no figs." Now, figs are what? Fruit. It would go on to say that there are no vines, so there's no grapes. It also says that there was no pomegranates. But even more important than that, it says that there is no water to drink. Now, you can look at me and tell that I haven't missed many meals. Don't laugh. I know, Ceylon. I get it. And you know, I could actually miss a few meals, and it wouldn't kill me. Probably be good for me. I've got a surgery coming up in the very near future. My doctor says, "I need you to lose 10 pounds. I'm like, I'm going to find me a new doctor. But it's not so hard, you know. I mean, I can lose 10 pounds. I just got to really, really watch what I eat. I noticed this morning, I was back there studying for a little bit before I came out, and I heard my stomach growling. I've already missed one meal, and I'm about to die. You know, anybody got a cracker back there? But we can go a few days without missing and miss some meals and live. But if you go a few days without water, and you're going to be dehydrated, and before you know it, you're going to get sick. What does everybody tell you? Your mama's told you this from the time you was just a little kid. When you get sick and you get a bad cold or you get the flu, make sure you drink lots of fluids, right? Because we need water. We need not just water, but when you're sick, you need juices and you need Gatorade. You need all those things to re-flourish what you have lost. So that says that they were out of water to drink. It's not that Egypt was such a wonderful place. Not that at all. But I want to give you 3 points and a promise. And we're going to work fast. 3 points and a promise. Point number one. You've got to be very careful when you have a task at hand or you have an assignment that you don't underestimate the difficulty of the assignment. You got to be careful. When you underestimate the difficulty of an assignment, you'll get yourself into trouble. Now, sometimes the assignment looks easier in the beginning than it really is. Anybody in here own a business? Brother Larry owns a business. Some others might. I know CJ, he's got his lawn care business. And sometimes the business looks easier in the beginning than it really is. Well, a few weeks ago, CJ had hired this kid to work with him. And lo and behold, the kid done something, tore up the lawnmower. Now, I can tear up my lawnmower, and that's one thing, because I can take it down to the Ace Hardware, and they'll fix it right up and give me my little Murray lawnmower, push mower, and I can back on about my business. But when you lose a, what do you call it, Larry? A zero-turn lawnmower, that's a whole different story, right, Dion? And man, when that thing gets down, you're in trouble. Not only does he got to take it over to the shop, so now he's down a day or two of work, but it may cost him $1,000, $1,200 to get that thing back up and run it again. So we have to be careful and knowledgeable of the fact that sometimes we can get into trouble by underestimating the difficulty of the assignment. All right, let's skip the business for a minute. How about the marriage? Ruh-roh. Sometimes the marriage looks easier. Now, my wife, she might not be here this morning, but she's watching me on Facebook, and I know I got to be real careful. But sometimes the marriage looks easier than what it turns out to be and what it really is. Sometimes raising children. Anybody raise kids? So, yeah. How about the children's home over there? Sometimes it looks easier than what it really is. Let's go back to the marriage for a minute. I can't hardly preach a message. I don't bring some props and try and help myself. It's more for me than probably than it is for you because I get scattered. I got to keep myself on track. Now, I want you to see all my props in here. But anyway, you know, marriage, it was a lot easier when you were dating. Would you agree? Dating is full of things like, y'all know what these are, Tic Tacs. You don't dare go on a date without a Tic Tac, right? Now, back in the day when some of us were dating, we used to call it courting. Now, the young folks are back there thinking, here he goes, this guy's a nut. And when a fellow would go to try and court the girl, they called it a sparking. I don't know where they got all these names, do you? Some of y'all looking at me like, yeah, I remember that. But you wouldn't go courting without your Tic Tac, right? I'll take it a step even further than that. I promise you, guys, girls, you wouldn't leave the house if he was going on a date. I didn't want to bring my old toothbrush. That thing looked rough this morning when I looked at it. I was brushing my teeth. You wouldn't want to go on a date without using your toothbrush and your toothpaste, right? Because after all, you're going to get close. Don't get too close. Don't you young people look at me and say, Brother Allen said, we can get close to each other. I mean like arm's length. You know what I'm saying? But you can smell somebody's breath from afar off. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. But I wouldn't dare go on a date with Terry that I didn't use my toothbrush and my toothpaste. Hey, that ain't all. Do yourself a favor and use deodorant. Amen. And I wouldn't have thought about, and I still won't, a lot of people do, but I still don't want to go out of the house. I can get fully dressed and realize, what? Uh-oh, I forgot my deodorant. Go running back up, strip her down, put your deodorant on. Please do that. If you didn't this morning, you can use mine before you leave. I would even take it a step further than that and say that, now this is some of the best cologne you'll ever buy. I bought this at Walgreens for $10.95. You probably pay $110.95 for a bottle of cologne, but $10.95. I'd let y'all smell it, but everybody'd be wanting it. Smells good. It's an attraction to the ladies. I went over to the chiropractor one day, and I don't know, I'd put on a little spritz of it before I left the house that morning. I walked in, and I got to be careful, Terry's just watching. All the ladies come up to me and said, is that you? Now, they know I'm a deputy in the county. I said, is that me what? I thought, uh-oh. I might have forgot my deodorant before I left the house. They said, something smells good. I said, that's me. I wouldn't dare tell them I only paid $10.95 for it at the Walgreens. But you understand what I'm saying. In the dating time, we always wanted to have fresh breath, some deodorant on, maybe a little spritz of cologne before we walked out. I'll just throw this in for good measure. Hey, there ain't a feller in this place that wouldn't have washed your car before you went and picked that doll up. Am I right? Now, you don't even know there's a car wash in town. Hey, man, she's trying her best to get you to go by and get the car washed. Anyway, all right, let's step back to the marriage for a minute. We do all those things when we're dating. But I'll tell you something about marriage. Marriage has bad breath. I wouldn't dare kiss my wife in the morning before I went in there and brushed my teeth. Marriage has not only bad breath, but it's got bedhead. You ever notice that? I got up this morning, Glenda's laughing. I got up this morning, I went in there and looked in the mirror and I thought, I look like I had a comb over. You know, I don't know what happened sometime during the night. But all of that hair got all swooped over, and what I do have in the middle was sticking straight up. Marriage got bedhead. Things are a little bit different from dating to marriage. I told CJ this the other day. I said, hey, boy, would you please get you a T-shirt that covers your whole belly? We all do it. I noticed this morning I got on a white T-shirt and I stretched a little bit and there she went, poking out. Not only that, but we wear our wife beater T-shirts and the belly hanging out the bottom of it. But we would be careful. We would be careful when we were dating. Now, sometimes in a marriage you have unexpected situations. Man, I got to hurry. We have unexpected situations. It's either always too hot or it's always too cold. For those of you ladies who are over 50, you would be sitting out there because it's always hot. And in a few minutes, you'd be saying, man, I'm about to freeze to death. I need a sweater. Am I right? And then you reach the age of 70 and you're cold all the time. I know that because I have a lot of bailiffs. Yeah, got a lot of bailiffs at work with me, and most of them are over 70. And I'm telling you, it's 95, 98 degrees outside, and they come in with a coat on and wear it all day. What in the world? I can only hope that I get to the age of 70 so that I will be able to understand it like you do. And then this genius, you know, now we all still probably, I imagine, me and my wife, we still sleep together in the same bed, and I'm thankful for that. But we tend to sleep on different sides. I looked this morning before I left the house, and we have this mattress that's called a Beauty Rest. And we went to this place, and we paid a pretty good bit of money for the Beauty Rest mattress. And it has a remote control. I hit the button, and it raise up your feet. Or I hit another button, and it raise up your head. Before you know it, you look like a sandwich in there. But you hit another button, and it vibrates. That thing will bounce all the way across a room on that hardwood floor, man. And I thought, well, that's pretty ingenious. But then this genius came out with this thing called a sleep number. Has anybody got one of those? A sleep number bed? You know why? Because on one side you can raise it up and the other side they can lower theirs down. I think you can even hit something and make the thing cool or hot. I just don't get it. But they did that because we have such a problem. We have such a problem with just trying to get along. You see, we've got to realize that in everything that we go through, we're going to be going through some hard places. In our marriages, even in our dating. Number two, I'm going to try my best to be quick, is there are hard places that are given to strong people. We go through hard places. But those are given to strong people. You see, it's easy to be trusted with something when everything is just falling into place. The question, though, is can God trust you when you're going through a hard place? How about when your home's being repossessed? How about when you've lost your job or you've hit a layoff? All of us at one time or another probably hit times like that. Your job's been taken away. Your business is going under. You've got to move back in with mama. Lord, help us. And through all of that, you've got to understand, how about where's your praise and all that? It's easy to praise the Lord when you're on the mountaintop. It's easy to understand when everything is falling into place. But how about when you've hit rock bottom? Where's your praise then? Where's your praise? When the enemy is saying, where is your God? Your God is saying, where is your praise? Or do we only love God when he's just given us all of the stuff that we want? We've got to be real careful with that. We have been given some assignments. I'm here to tell you this morning that it's not easy. It's not easy to be a Christian. You believe that? In this world that we live, it's not easy. In this God-forsaken world, it's hard to be a Christian. It's also hard to be a minister or to be a pastor. Now, we tend to think that pastor's got it made. All he's got to do is preach one time on Sunday morning, one time on Sunday night, and on Wednesday night, and he's done. That's easy. Boy, and we sit around and say, boy, I wish I had your job, Pastor. Well, you might not. You might not. How about the times when the phone rings about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and one of us is going through a struggle? Has Pastor ever been there for you? I remember years ago, those of you who have been here for a long time with me, remember our brother-in-law, Brother Gary Cantrell, who had cancer, and he was ate up with cancer, and he passed away. And we were over at Gary's family's house, and at his mom and daddy's house, and we were sitting there in the living room, all of us together. Brother Gary had just went on to be with the Lord. And I looked out through the glass door there, the storm door, and I saw a very familiar figure. I didn't even know he knew where we were. But here come Brother Snyder walking up the driveway. And he came into the house just to bring us some encouragement. Came in, had some prayer. We spent some time together, and he was gone. I remember some years later when my mother passed away, and I remember him standing on one side of her bed, and me and Terry and Amanda were standing on the other side. We were weeping and we were crying. It was all Mama could do just to reach out and just grab a breath of air, just to try and catch another breath. We were holding on to her hand. And Brother Snyder, I saw him reach over there on the little coffee table next to her, and he picked up the Bible and he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You see, it's times like that. That's what a pastor does. It's more than just a few messages a week. Glenda, Brother Snyder, was he there for you when you were going through a struggle? Every one of us in this room that knew him, he was just that kind of man. And now the Lord's given us a new pastor. And I'm telling you, there have been times where I didn't think he even knew what I was going through. And he'd send me a text and say, just wanted you to know I'm praying for you. How many of you, there's more than just being a pastor, there's also a pastor's wife. How many of you have gotten a text that said, something like what she'll send me early in the morning. I'm on my way to work, and she'll send me a text that'll say, "Just wanted you to know that we covered you in prayer this morning early." Hey, I'm sure that's not just me. They do that for all of us, and they are here for us. You might be careful about saying, "Boy, I wish I had your job, Pastor." You might not want it. There's more to it. There's more to it. There's more behind the scenes. There's more to being a pastor, more to being a deacon, more than being a witness. Sometimes times are hard in this crazy world that we live in. Anyone can be a good husband or a good wife when things are going good. Have you ever noticed that? But it's different when the assignment gets rough and the task gets tough. I'm going to try and move forward a little quicker if I can. In these verses of Scripture that we have just read, anybody ever heard the word fickle? Not pickle now, but fickle. We'll say things like, "Boy, they are just fickle people." Most of us probably, we probably call somebody a name we don't even know what they are. Fickle, that's this. I looked it up. They change their mind so much that you can't rely on them. One day they're one way and you're a friend. The next day they won't even speak to you. They're just fickle. That's exactly what we find here in this chapter. These people, this congregation that Moses has been assigned to, those people are just fickle. One day they're one way, the next day the other. The same people that Moses saved from dying by lifting up the serpent in the wilderness, these are the same people that Moses prayed for till bread loaves fell from heaven. These are the same people that Moses cast the tree in by the waters of Marah and caused them to be able to drink. These are the same people that this 80-year-old man is now walking through the dry place, and they give no concern that he might be uncomfortable. They give no concern, and they have no empathy for him for what he might be going through. And that's just the way people are. These are the same people who are verbally assaulting him. In a little while, they'll be down at the bottom of the mountain crying when he is gone. Sometimes we don't appreciate the person that we're married to until we look over in the bed and they're no longer there. It would cause you to be a little more appreciative. I thought about Jimmy Pearson. Man, I love him. I love that group. The Diplomats. Man, we love them. They would come to the church and sing. But I remember Brother Jimmy, he went to bed that night, and the next morning, he was gone. I shared with the choir and shared with you a few moments ago, Friday, the disaster that took place. I don't know how many of you may have seen it. I don't know if I saw it on TV or if I saw it on Facebook or what it was, but it was the airplane that the Neelands were in. And in the airplane, it was showing where they had just taken another trip several months or weeks or whatever ago. And you could look inside that airplane, and there was about 8 seats in there, and then the pilot and the co-pilot seat. And they were lined up in there, 4 people on one side, 4 people on the other, much the way I'm sure that it was on Friday. And there was probably just enough room, Ceylon, that they could probably have reached out. Because Terry said, "I wonder if they were getting up in that airplane and hugging, trying to hug each other before the crash." I don't know if they had time to do that, Brother Don, but there was enough room that they could have reached out and said, "I love you. We're going down. Hey, would you meet me by the river on the other side? I'll see you on the other side of Jordan. Oh, God help. Be with our family." I'm sure that a mother and daddy were screaming out, "Please be with Autumn. Oh, God, be with my little girl." She was the only one that wasn't on the plane with them. a grandmother, a grandfather will never on this side see that precious little grandbaby. See, we just don't know what a day holds. We don't know what a day holds. But I want you to notice, I'm going to give you number three. But with parched lips and a dry tongue, they keep moving forward. And there's one thing that I have learned in life, and that is this. And that is this. You've got to keep moving. You've got to keep on keeping on for the cause of Christ. You must keep moving. Yeah, I love that phrase that says faith over fear, don't you? You see people with a t-shirt, man, I hope they believe what they're wearing. You've got to have faith over fear. Don't sit and feel sorry for yourself. Don't delay your assignment because of your emotions. We were raised in a time when our tolerance was much stronger than people are raised in today. I remember what it was like being raised, I never thought I'd say this, being raised in the 60s and 70s. Now, some of y'all, don't laugh, some of y'all were raised more like in the 40s and the 50s, right? But I remember being raised in the 60s and the 70s. My daddy worked hard every day. And I remember seeing him coming down the road at the end. I'd be standing out there in the yard waiting on daddy to get home from work. I was just a little tyke. That was a long time ago, too, I'm just saying. But I was standing out there in the yard waiting on daddy. And he would come down the road in that old 65 Ford Galaxy 500 with all the windows down. He didn't have air conditioning. We don't think we can go anywhere without air conditioner. He'd come wheeling it down there in that old 65 Ford Galaxy 500. And he'd get out of the car like this. About dead. Because my daddy worked hard. He was a construction worker. Poor fellow was so tired when he came home, he hadn't even took off his hard hat yet. And he'd get out of that car and he'd pat me on top of the head and say, I love you, son. Daddy's home. He'd walk in the house. First thing he did, Ceylon, walk over to Mama. She'd be in the kitchen and she'd be over there making cornbread. Here's you one. Y'all know what a pound of cornbread is? You know how you make a pound of cornbread? In an iron skillet. And you got to keep that, don't wash that thing with soap, whatever you do. One of y'all is going to go buy you an iron skillet, see if you can make a good pound of cornbread. But you wash that thing, clean it out just with water, and then you put a little Crisco in there to keep her seasoned. Mama knew just how to keep that thing seasoned. Anyway, Daddy would come in there, and the first thing he'd do would go in there in the kitchen. Now, this that he put on this morning wore off by now. So he didn't get too awful close to Mama. He'd just walk over and kiss her on the cheek, and I'd watch him. He'd kiss her on the cheek and say, I love you, baby. And he'd go down the hall to wash his old nasty self up, get out of his dirty clothes, put on something halfway clean, wash his hands. And I noticed most of the day, Ceylon, he'd go get a box of Band-Aids. That's the only thing I forgot in my treasure chest. He'd get him a box of Band-Aids. And he's wrapping them fingers up. I'm talking about, you know, anybody know what calloused hands are? Some of us never have seen blisters. Daddy worked so hard, he had blisters on top of blisters. Corns on top of corns. Oh, rough, calloused hands. He'd be putting Band-Aids on it so he didn't bleed all over the table. He'd come in there and he'd sit down, and Mama would pop that cornbread out. She'd get that thing out of the oven. You got to turn it upside down, put it on a plate, and whoo, golden brown. Anybody in here fix cornbread like that? Don't forget that when you bring my maters. And I used to say that, but Miss Bonnie Carmichael could sure fix some cornbread, and she'd bake me a pound of it and bring it to me the next Sunday. I'll see y'all next Sunday. But she'd get that cornbread out. Now, she'd been cooking all day. Mama didn't work outside the home. She worked inside the home. Amen? And she worked hard, and she kept that place clean. But I could hear her in there singing, "Amazing Grace, how sweet." There was nothing sweeter on this side of heaven than to hear Mama singing in the kitchen. She have a big old pot of pinto beans cooked up, waiting on Daddy to come home for dinner. And sometimes mashed potatoes, but a lot of times, that's right, a lot of times she just cut up some potatoes and put them in there and boil them, and then put butter and salt and pepper in them boiled taters. If we was lucky, she'd have a mater and she'd slice it up. Have you noticed there's one thing that I have not mentioned? And that is meat. Because meat was for the rich folks. We was poor. We had what we had, but you know what? We had love. Daddy'd walk over to the table. He'd bow his head and he'd say, Lord, thank you for the day. Thank you for the job you blessed me with. Thank you for my wonderful family. And thank you for this food that we're about to have. I love you, Lord. Amen. And then I want you to notice something. We would all, A-double-A-O, sit down at the table together. Now, that's a foreign thing anymore. Not one time did I ever say, "Hey, Mama, I'm going to fix my plate and go in there and watch some TV." No. I never said, "You know what? I'm going to have dinner, but I'm going to have it in my bedroom, and I'm going to play some games." That was a foreign concept. I had my place at the table, and I just went over there and sat down. And we had dinner together every night. Every meal we had, Miss Yvonne, we had it sitting at the table together. I wouldn't take anything for it. And Daddy would say, "Boy, how's your day at school?" "Oh, it was okay, Daddy. Have you got your homework done?" "I'm almost finished." Because I knew if I finished my homework in time, Daddy'd go out in the yard with me and throw the baseball with me for a while. You see, that's a foreign concept anymore. Hardly ever does any family sit down together and have a meal anymore. I'm telling you that it was a good time for us, and it kept us moving through the hard times. We all sit down at the table. Then once dinner was over and everything was cleaned up and me and Daddy had been out and we'd played baseball in the yard for a little while, we'd go in. We'd sit down in front of the TV. You know, we didn't have cable. We had 2, 5, 11, 17. If we was lucky, we might catch 46. That's what 46 was the channel that the wrestling come on, you know. Iron Anderson, all that. Wrestling number one, wrestling number two. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And we'd sit down, and at 9 o'clock, we would watch The Lucy Show. That was the one that was in color. I love Lucy's black and white, just for the record. The Lucy Show, and we'd sit down, and we'd watch it, and it'd go off. And I knew then, it's time to go to bed. I never said, "I think I'm going to stay up a little later tonight," or go in my room and leave the radio on or TV on or whatever. It was time to go to bed. Next morning, same thing all over again. Daddy'd get up early, and I'd see him in there, and he'd get his hard hat. And off he'd go to work. I noticed as he went out the door, he'd walk over there and he'd give Mama a big old kiss. He had his deodorant and he'd brush his teeth. And he'd give her a big old kiss. And then he'd reach over there and he'd pick up. Anybody remember the Munsters? If you haven't seen it, you need to find it on TV Land or something, because the Munsters are great. One of the greatest things was Herman had the biggest lunchbox I ever seen in my whole life. And he'd grab a hold of his Herman Munster lunchbox, and out the door he'd go. I'd go over to the table, and I would pick up my lunchbox. I am telling you that my mother made the best peanut butter and jelly sandwiches that you have ever had in your life. You say, man, you lived a wacky life. I wouldn't take anything for the life that I live. Now, our kids, if they don't get everything that they want handed to them on a silver platter, then they think that they've been abused. Let me tell you what abuse is. One day, I was sitting at the kitchen table. Mama, I asked her a question. She didn't give me the answer that I wanted, and I smarted off at her. Only one time, Daddy stood up, and he was about this tall. And all of his life, Larry, he weighed about 130 pounds. Wore a 30-30 breeches and a small shirt all of his life. But he slid back in that chair away from that table, and he stood up, and he looked like Goliath standing there. He had the biggest hands I have ever seen in my life. He said, boy, you ever heard the word sass? You ever sass your mama like that again? And I promise you, I'll knock all your teeth out, and you'll be picking yourself up off the floor. What do you think I did? Okay, Daddy, I'm sorry. I promise you I won't ever do that again. And I never did. I took him serious. But I'm telling you, if our kids nowadays don't get everything handed to them, I wonder what the... Let's do a little survey. I wonder what the average age is for kids nowadays to have a cell phone. Did you have a cell phone, Brother Harold? I remember when I got a beeper. I'm dating myself bad. I didn't have no cell phone. I had no need to call home. I was going to get on the bus and come home. But the average age, let's just venture to say the average age, average now, maybe 9, 10 years old, all the kids in the house got a cell phone. What in the world? What in the world? I was thankful if I just got a new pair of shoes once a year. Now, shoes have changed a lot. I didn't get Air Jordans. What's the most fancy? Some of you young people back there, tell me what the most famous and fancy pair of tennis shoes are now. What'd they say? Converse. Go figure. I remember a day when it was Air Jordans and Nikes and all that. But you are right. You know what? What I was looking for back then, they've gone back to now. Y'all wouldn't believe it. You ought to see me in these. These are really mine. I bought them for myself. But what I wanted back then, the kids want now. You know what else? We used to have what was called bell-bottom breeches. It's coming back around, but they'll never wear them like we did. Praise the Lord. We live in a very, very odd time. It was a hard time. I remember Mama saying, you wait till when you have to raise a family, boy. You wait till you have kids. I thought she was kidding. Till I had four of them. Four children. I thought, God, what have you done to me? On Saturdays, back when you could go to Arbor Place Mall in Douglasville, we would get the whole bunch together. And our girls would get so mad, they'd say, where are we going? We're going to the mall. Are you kidding me? We're not going to that mall, all of us together, Daddy, are we? Yeah. And we would march them all across there, all across the whole aisle, and we'd go marching down through the middle of the mall. And they'd say, We look like the Brady Bunch. Would you please just take us back home? Huh. And the things that we did, the things that we went through, I remember trying to get them all together to get them to church. We live in Douglasville. That's 35 minutes with me driving, about 20 minutes if Terry was driving. And we're out there. I done laid on the horn trying to get them girls. They're in there curling that hair, trying to get ready all spruced up to come to church. The Lord don't care if you wear lipstick in here or not. Get in the van. We got to go. Here they'd come running out. God, Daddy, you blowing the horn. They go, the neighbors are going to call the police. I am the police. Anyway. So they get out in the van, and we'd be headed to church. And lo and behold, the two girls that used to complain so much about all the things that we did together, both of them ended up with four children. There is a God. Amen. Amanda said the other day, she said, I got in the van with him. She said, I'm sorry, Dad, but be careful and don't set on any Cheetos. Oh, really now? I remember that so well. Their kids fall asleep everywhere, and you got to make sure you got them all together. Little Charlie, she'll be somewhere downstairs asleep, and you got to go try and find her wherever she is. I had one, his name was Robbie, who's now 32. But on the road about here where Brother Don and Miss Yvonne are sitting, Robbie slept right up under that pew. And you know what happened one Sunday morning? We got ready to go and headed on out. We was already in the van. And Terry looked around. She said, uh-oh. I said, what's wrong? She said, we're missing one. I'm like, what? Well, Marcia done had him up out of the pew and they was walking down through there. She said, golly, Terry, you walked off and left your own son at church. She was right. I was trying my best to leave him for somebody else to feed. But times change and life is hard. We were going down the road, and I'm almost done. We were going down the road yesterday. And Terry said, what in the world are we going to do? Because y'all know us. I mean, we have a pie factory at the house. The kitchen, every morning we get up about 3:30, and we make 100 pies or so. Sometimes less, sometimes more. And we spend a lot of time in the kitchen in the mornings, and we got to be at work still by 7. Both of us have to be there by 7. I usually try and get there around 6:30. So you got to roll. You think it don't get hot in that kitchen? I mean, I'm over here frying them one pie at a time, flipping them things with two or three electric skillets. Y'all didn't know all of it went into all that, did you? And I'm over there, and man, it gets a little warm in there sometimes. We got a fan going, all we're trying to stay halfway cool. And first thing she does when we go downstairs to start up the pie factory is go to the living room and crank down the air conditioning. Down means colder. I guess I did it the right way. Yesterday morning, we went down there, started at the pie factory. First thing she did is went in there and brought down the air conditioning. And all of a sudden, we realized something wrong. What is wrong here? I walked over to the vent that was in the floor and kicked off my shoe and put my foot down there. I could hear it running on the outside, but on the inside, nothing. I made a phone call. Brother David, I called Gary, the heating and air guy, the hero that Brother David set me on to a couple years ago. He'd already been to the house 2 or 3 times and put a Band-Aid on it. I called him. I said, hey, pal, we got problems. He's like, what's wrong? I said, well, number one, it's summertime, and number two, it feels like summertime inside the house. Go out there and do this and check that and call me back. I did. He said, turn it off. I'll see you Monday. Right. Hey, it's one thing fat boys don't like, and that's heat. So we're going down the road yesterday morning to deliver the pies that we just made. And Terry said, what in the world are we going to do? I said, honey, I don't know. I know one thing we're going to do. We're going to figure out how to get it fixed. But all of a sudden now, I'm going through what would seem to be a hard time. Working through a hard place. Now, when I was growing up, when I was a kid, we didn't have central air. But it didn't seem so hot back then. It's hot now. You know, Mom and Daddy never got central air until I moved out. There's something wrong with that. That's a love that I just didn't understand. But what are we going to do, she said. I said, honey, I don't really know exactly what we're going to do. I know one thing, though. We're going to have to keep it moving. We've got to continue. We've got to go on. I'm not real sure exactly what we're going to do because sometimes life is hard. Sometimes we're just walking through life and realize that life is hard. Sometimes we've got to go through some hard places. Moses here, one of the greatest leaders that's ever been, is well known, but he's in a hard place. Being a leader can be a hard place. Being a breadwinner can be a hard place. Being gifted can be a hard place. Being chosen is a hard place. How many times do we get into a hard place, though, and we get toxic? And we get upset? But hey, if you're trained in hard places, you're raised in hard places. The young people will probably roll their eyes at me this morning, but I'm telling you, you're going to go through some hard times. We're working through hard places. I've given you 3 points, and I want to give you a promise. There's one thing I know for sure. Terry said, this couldn't have come at a worse time. I said, you're right. But then the Lord got my attention. And what we had cried about most of the morning that took place on Friday with the Nealands, all of a sudden my problem seemed so small. There's a promise. I told you I like that phrase that said, faith over fear. There's another one that I believe the Lord has given us over this past few years, and that is this. But God. If you don't hear anything I have said this morning, I want you to realize this. No matter what you're going through, no matter what your struggle, no matter what weight you might feel like you're carrying, God has always been faithful, and He always will. God was always on time. Brother Randy, if you'll come. But God is still God. When the waves are rolling high, there's a song Brother David used to sing. Said, when I look back on all of my days, so many times and so many ways, I've been blessed, and all I can say is God is still good. Sometimes the night brings sorrow and pain. Sometimes the fear falls like the rain. But through it all, He's never changed. God is still good. God is still good when the waves roll high. God is still good all through the night. When I've done all I can and I don't understand, God is still good. There have been times that I've let Him down, made my mistakes, but still I have found, though I stumble and though I fall, but through it all, God is still good. Mercy still flows from the palm of His hand. He will give grace and help me to stand. And although He knows how unworthy I am, God is still good. You've got a promise. No matter what you're going through, no matter the struggle, no matter how fierce it may seem, But God. There was a group that wrote a song, But God. And it said, The call comes in, and we get the word. An accident or something has occurred. We begin to pray, believing we are heard. And the doctor says, prepare for the worst. But notice the course. It says, but God was first on the scene. Before it happened, He knew our need. How many of us would find it quite odd that we wouldn't be here except for two words, but God? If you'll stand with me this morning, I still kept you a little longer than I wanted to, but I pray and I trust that something maybe has caused you to realize that even though times get hard, and even though we all have struggles, would you not agree with me this morning that life is just way, way too short? We never know what a day holds. I can tell you this, we need to learn to hold on to each other. But even greater than that, we need to learn, Brother Don, how to hold on to God. I'm glad He holds on to me, even when I can't hold on to Him. Father, we love You. And we thank You this morning. And Lord, maybe there's someone here today that would say, you know what, I just need to come down to the altar and just thank the Lord for His goodness on me and my family. God's been so good. We've had our struggles. We've had our fears. We've cried. We've had many tears. But God's been good. Lord, we're so thankful for that. Maybe someone here this morning, they're here and they don't even know the Lord. And they are, all of this is just a mystery to them of how we could say that we depend on God even through the storms that we go through. Maybe they just need to come down and realize that they need the Lord as their Savior more than anything else. Maybe we just need to come down and we just need to spend a little time in prayer to pray for someone else and for a storm that they might be going through. Lord, as we sing one verse, would You please speak to hearts? Draw us closer to You than when we came in. We'll praise You for all You do. In Jesus' name, amen. Just as I am. Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou biddest me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot. Thank you so much for your attention this morning. Again, I apologize for keeping you a little longer than I wanted to, but I pray that you'll be able to go home, take a little nugget with you maybe. Maybe think back on some of the things that the Lord has brought you through. You might be able to be a help to somebody else along the way. That would be my prayer. Amen. Any word before we're dismissed? Yes, ma'am. Okay. Finger foods tonight. All right. Don't forget our speaker for this evening. Lift him up in prayer. Anyone else? If not, shake hands with somebody and consider yourself dismissed. Thank you for being here this morning at Calvary.